Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that just as we sang, you would help us place our trust alone in your unswerving love. Father, may we place our trust in your word that you give us because of your love for us. As we open your word right now to just dive into the Gospel of Luke, Holy Spirit, continue to work faith in our hearts. And if there's those here today that don't know you as Lord and Savior, would you help them to see your love and your grace that you have given them? It's in your name we pray. Amen. So what would you do? What would you do if someone tried to steal your identity? Or tried to make you unsure of who you are? We're going to see this morning how the devil tries to make Jesus unsure of his identity. The devil loves to do the same thing for us. He loves to tell us, oh, you're not really who God says you are. What you and I will see, however, this morning is Jesus provides us with a plan to overcome this challenge that the devil tries to throw at us. But in order to see the plan, we have to dive into the story of Luke 4. Three of the Gospels out of the four tell us of Jesus' temptation and how it immediately followed his baptism. Matthew and Mark moved the narrative directly from the baptism of Jesus to the temptation. Yet Luke, the Gospel of Luke, interrupts this narrative movement with this lengthy excursus of this genealogy of Jesus. You see, immediately after the voice of God announces Jesus as son, Luke inserts this genealogy, which goes all the way back to the beginning. And Jesus is not only the son of Joseph or David or Abraham, but he's also the son of Adam. It's as if Luke tells us all of these things because he wants us to be crystal clear about what Jesus' identity is before he tells us about the temptation of Jesus by the devil. And so this matters for how we read the temptation of Jesus. And so the first thing is, and Chris, maybe move the slide. There you go. Sorry, a little clicker doesn't work. Technology. Thanks, devil. So instead of focusing too heavily on what Jesus is tempted toward by the devil, we may want to consider what he's tempted away from. And what's that? Again, as we mentioned, his identity. If you are the Son of God, you will hear the devil say in Luke, if you are the Son of God, and he'll say it twice. So the message is clear that the devil is trying to tell Jesus, you're not really who the Father says you are. I mean, are you really the Son of God, as the Father tells you? Surely you're not. That's what the devil's really trying to do with Jesus. And so all of this temptation happens right before the official beginning of Jesus' ministry. You talk about a possible disaster before it even gets started. And the devil, as he is tempting Jesus for 40 days, he's putting, in basketball terms, the full court press on Jesus. This is today's version of the Ultimate Fighting Championship. The devil versus Jesus. The octagon is the world, and the two opponents are the devil and Jesus fighting it out to the death. And here's a picture that I really think paints a beautiful picture. So my daughter, during Christmas, was looking for stickers for her water bottle that she wanted for Christmas. And I found this one. And I was like, hey, do you want this one? This would be awesome. She's like, oh, daddy, which I get a lot, as you can imagine. Well, I ended up buying this sticker because I thought it was such a perfect picture. You may think, oh, that's just terrible. But this is what is happening in the temptation of Jesus. And also what it says is true too. Jesus has our back. He's taking care of us. And so verse 1 of this text, it says something pretty wild. It says Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, but he was also led by the Holy Spirit to this temptation opportunity. This shows Jesus' drive to do his Father's will. I mean, think about this for a second. The beginning of Jesus' ministry, and here he is going against public enemy number one, the devil. This doesn't make a whole lot of sense for us, but let me break it down in political terms, because this is typically what makes sense for us. When a politician starts their career, do most of them begin by going after the main thing they want to do? Like, let's say they want to run for president. They just start there. No, they can't. They become instead like a mayor of a medium-sized town, then maybe railroad commissioner, then maybe a state senator, congress member. Then, after going through all those steps, maybe they'll become president if they desire to run for that office. They take challenges little by little, and this makes sense to us. It doesn't really make sense to us that Jesus would battle the devil from the get-go, before he almost even got started. Yet a lot of what God does doesn't make sense to us. A theologian named Linsky states, God's will and the devil's will, they clash in Jesus. And isn't that true? The devil's ready for this battle. He had known the Messiah was coming since Genesis 3. He had had all that time to prepare for this battle with Jesus. And he also knew he had already conquered Adam. And because of this first victory, he believed he'd be able to conquer Jesus as well. He was very confident. See, the devil's a proud and arrogant narcissist who thinks he's better than he actually really is. He wanted to break Jesus down during these 40 days of temptation. And so what we're going to do is we're going to highlight the three temptations the devil tried to throw at Jesus at what appeared to be the end of the 40 days of temptation. See, in verse 2, it talks about Jesus being tempted. But in the English, we actually lose something here, because what it's really saying is within those 40 days, Jesus was continuously tempted by the devil. We don't know what that looks like. We don't know what kind of temptations the devil threw at Jesus. But now the 40 days are over, and Jesus has still not given in to temptation. And at the end of these 40 days, Luke, the gospel writer, who is also a physician, a doctor, he's concerned about Jesus' health because he says Jesus was hungry. He would be concerned about that. Some of the other gospel writers, not so much. But Jesus is hungry, and he's both God and man who's without sin. But from the human side, the man got hungry. And as a result, the devil takes an opportunity for temptation. So here's the first temptation. If you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread. If you're so hungry, and you happen to be the Son of God, command that stone to become bread so you can eat. And Jesus answered the devil by saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. This is found in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Notice how the devil begins this temptation. If you are the Son of God. See, trying to say, is your identity really who the Father says you are? If you are the Son of God. Now, the devil knew Jesus could do this miracle very easily without even having to do anything but say a word. the temptation and the problem with Jesus actually doing this miracle at this time would be this. Jesus had been placed into this battle with the devil by his Father. And if he created bread to eat while he was being tempted, it would show that he's not trusting his Father to provide for him, to care for him. Jesus' response instead shows that he has trust in his Father, and it did not waver, and he would not give in to this temptation, no matter how hungry he was. And notice, this temptation deals with food, just like the first temptation in the Bible with Adam and Eve did, with the unidentified fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, the devil is trying to bait Jesus into distrust of God's word. And that worked with Adam and Eve. It didn't succeed here. And so the second temptation happens. The devil takes Jesus up and shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Like Jesus wasn't there when they were created. This is old news to him. But the devil stands up like a great used car salesman and states, I will give you all this authority and all glory, for it's been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you worship me, Jesus, all of this is yours. Twinkle of the tooth as he smiles, right? Just kind of ding. And what the devil was trying to do was to tell Jesus, hey, you can rule all of this kingdom in an earthly way, and almost like a political ruler, a king, a president. But Jesus already does rule as the Son of God. So this temptation, at first glance, doesn't really seem to make sense, but there's some genius in what the devil's offering to Jesus here. If Jesus will place himself under Satan, then he would be the ruler of the world. But here's the genius. God sent Jesus to the world to be Messiah and King. And the devil's offering him an opportunity to do that without having to go through the suffering and the death of the cross. If he just listens to the devil and if he just comes under the devil's rule and reign, he doesn't have to go to the cross. He doesn't have to have any suffering or hardship or go have that long, painful journey to the cross. This is pretty smart. This is the easy way out. Playing it safe. This is a life hack, a cheat code. No suffering needed, Jesus. You could just rule without having to go to the cross, without having to die. We love shortcuts as human beings. Don't you love shortcuts? We were at the confirmation retreat this past weekend. And whenever we had to go to a meal, there was a caliche road that we had to take, and it kind of curved around. But right in the middle of it, kind of going across, there was a shortcut. Well, right away, a number of the students, instead of going around the road, went straight to the shortcut. Well, after a while, what I noticed is all of us were using the shortcut. Nobody was going around the caliche road. We were all kind of cutting through. Why? We love shortcuts. It's less energy, less thinking. We can just, the easy way. That's the offer that the devil was trying to give to Jesus to appeal to his human nature, that side of who he was. And the devil's trying to make Jesus comfortable, to make sure Jesus didn't have to suffer. You notice that with the two temptations? When you're hungry, you don't need to suffer, Jesus. Bless your heart. Just go get some food. Or we don't want you to die and have to suffer through that. Just come under my rule and reign. All of this will be yours. I mean, the first temptation, the devil was like a good old Italian mama. Baby, you can't go hungry. That would be terrible. Get yourself some bread from the Old Mill Bread Company. Just take care of yourself. The second temptation, let me give you power so that you'll rule all of those rejecting you. You'll have comfort. You'll have no suffering. The only problem is all of these kingdoms that the devil alleges had been given to him belong to God. He was never given those. He took them. He's an enemy of God. He wrongfully took those kingdoms. If Jesus bows down to the devil, Jesus then would disown God and become an enemy of his own Father. Instead, Jesus says, referencing God's word once again from Deuteronomy 6, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And now we arrive to the third temptation. The devil takes Jesus to the top of the temple and says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." Now, the devil actually quotes the Bible like Jesus did the first two times. He tries, "All right, Jesus, if you're going to play that way, I'll play that way too." So the devil quotes Psalm 91, and he says, "He will command his angels concerning you to guard you." But the problem with this temptation is the devil distorts God's word. He doesn't say the whole piece of text. He's trying to make the Bible say what he wants it to say. So instead of, "He will command his angels concerning you to guard you," that's what the devil says. The whole text is actually, "He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." The devil just happened to leave that out. And so the deception is he's making the Bible say what he wants to say. And that's something, that's a deceptive move all of us can do. Have you ever tried that? You wanted to fight somebody about what they're saying, and so you kind of quote the Bible, but it's not really in context. I mean, it's from the Bible, but it doesn't really say what you're trying to make it say. We can all do that. The devil wants Jesus, who's in no danger, to put himself in harm's way, to put himself into danger by showing he trusts God to swoop down and catch him when he falls. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself off the temple where everybody can see you, and surely they'll acclaim you as the Messiah. That's what you want. God's going to protect you. After all, you're his child. If you're the Son of God, there's that "if you are" again. But Jesus has word of his own. Not "if you are," but once again, "It is written." And this ends the temptation. And it states the devil departs until an opportune time. He didn't ever come to Jesus in person in the same way again, but he definitely came to Peter, the multitude, Herod, and even us over the years. So why does all this temptation matter? Jesus was tempted for all those 40 days, never gave in. Then finally, as a last-ditch effort, the devil tries to tempt Jesus three more times. Jesus doesn't give in. Okay, he doesn't give in, Pastor Danny. Like, let's go. Why does this matter? Great. Okay. I wasn't surprised he didn't give in because I've read the rest of the story. I know how it ends, right? You're telling me something I don't know. Well, here's what Jesus is telling you and me. Hey, I've been tempted. I've been hungry. I've been tested and tried by the devil himself. I've been tested by the devil throwing all of his tricks at me. And you know what? I never gave in because I placed all my hope and trust in God my Father. So when you are tempted, child, son, daughter, and you will be, put your trust and hope in me. Just as the Father was with me through the Holy Spirit, you have backup when going through temptation. Because I, Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit are with you. We have your back. You're my child. You matter to me. The devil used those same tire tricks that he does on us, and it didn't work on Jesus, even though it sometimes works on us. And Jesus shows us how to overcome those tricks. Because Jesus will not be deterred or diverted from the road he's taken to the cross. That's the only way that Jesus could accomplish the mission for all of humankind who was sinful to save you and me. There are no shortcuts. There's no life hacks. There's no sidesteps or easy ways out. It's straight ahead, full speed ahead, That was the way for Jesus. He went to battle with the devil as your divine champion, and he won. And as a result, you have that victory too. Jesus would let nothing stop him from doing what he set out to do, which is go to the cross to forgive you, to redeem you, to carry your sins on his back, that sinless back that would endure flogging and beating for your sake. Jesus was faithful to his Father's mission. That's the good news today that we can take from this story of Jesus' temptation by the devil. Nothing would stop the Savior from reaching his goal. And a lot of that was because of love for you. And reach it he did, because all your sins are paid for by virtue of God's own Son dying in your place. Your enemy, the devil, has been defeated. Now when the devil comes at you with temptations, you can say, hey, take it up with Jesus, devil. He's my champion. You can get behind me. He stopped you in the wilderness. He defeated you on the cross. He will stop you and stomp on you here and now. Friends, you're going to be tempted. The devil's going to come at you. Like, it's happening in my family right now. My kids haven't been healthy since December, on and off, right? My wife isn't feeling good. Like, she's tired. My dad's been sick. Like, it's what happens. I've noticed, and I'm not trying to give you a sob story. I'm just telling you the way Jesus, the devil works in my life. What I've noticed over the years of being a follower of Christ is he comes after my family and those important to me to try to get me off track. Maybe you notice, maybe he just directly attacks you. Maybe he does it another way. That's what I've seen him do to me. And so you just got to stay strong and stay strong in Christ, because on our own, we're not going to get through it. You got to stay strong in Christ, knowing he's got you in those times. And when we have temptation or we have moments of struggle, you cry out to Jesus, help me, Lord. You're stronger than I am. I'll take my stand on your completed work. Your word is sure. Just help me to say with you, Lord, it is written, when the devil tries to attack me. And the devil will try to come back with trying to twist the truth a little bit, trying to plant doubt and lead you astray. Don't give in. Focus your eyes on Christ, our champion. Be confident in his strength and victory, victory over sin, death, and the devil for you. Trust in Jesus. Focus on the gift of his word. And Jesus, love how it covers us. So what would you do? What would you do when you're given into temptation? You focus on Christ, the Redeemer and your Savior and the champion who gives us victory after victory, both here on earth and eternally. Amen. Please rise.